The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA at WIBA.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. So the question was posed to school board member Marge Passman, is four-year-old kindergarten necessary? And she said, yes, it's necessary. Now, I have spent the better part of 2 hours, and I've looked into this before, but better part of 2 hours today looking into the necessity of four-year-old kindergarten. And I didn't find much in the way of an argument for the necessity of this program. I found lots of stuff on the popularity of the program, but I didn't find much on the necessity of the program. Don Severson, our friend from Active Citizens for Education, is in the studio to talk about this. Don't really know how much it's going to cost. Don't really know how many people are going to use it. Have no idea whether or not it will provide the solution to our problems in the Madison schools, which are not difficult to solve, with a little bit of creative thinking. Brian Schimming is also in the studio as well. So, Don, welcome.
Thank you.
Necessity. All right, so right now we're guessing it'll be about $12 million?
Yes.
Okay, but we don't know.
That's for this year's figures.
We don't know.
No, correct.
$12 million a year?
Yes.
Okay. But we're not sure. Could be $10 million, could be $15 million. Could keep growing.
Right.
One of the things I did...
we know it'll be more next year than it would be this year.
Always is.
Because the teachers get more money.
Right. And we'll talk about the MTI contingent in this and the whole bit. So what we do know about these programs, and this is almost incontrovertible, you can't really, you know, argue with me on this. Once they're opened up, they become almost universally used. So you say this is the way kindergarten began, if you'll remember. That used to be voluntary. It almost became just a de facto requirement for kids. And there was a time when you could send your kid to kindergarten or you could not send your kid to kindergarten. You could start out in first grade. Then it just became popular. And so almost no one didn't send their kids to kindergarten. Same thing's true with Universal 4K, is that if you don't, I mean, if it's not a Head Start-oriented program, income-driven, people use it. It's very popular.
That's right.
That's one thing we can say. It's very popular. Now, is it a necessity? What do we know about this program? What do we know about the assessments of the program that we are going to be using in Madison?
Well, what we really don't know is the research and the efficacy of that research that supports that 4K makes a difference. We would like to see what the school district is using as its basis for supporting this and why it is in the first place that the school district believes they are the ones who have to do this. You know, the state constitution and statutes in Wisconsin outline public education as K-12. Doesn't include pre-K. So where do we get the authority to do it? The school district locally can't even do the job it's supposed to do in K-12 and use the funding appropriately, K-12. What makes us think and what gives us any confidence at all that they know what they're doing and can do it pre-K?
Do it and do it in a better way than everybody else has done
right.
It.
Well, on top of that, though, Vicki, there are 92 preschools within the boundaries of the school district. 92. Why isn't this a community program and not a school program? In other words, the school is grabbing the control and grabbing the authority.
And then requiring that certified teachers through MTI are going to be the ones staffing the program.
Well, and that all comes down from on high from Doyle administration and others, and the feds now too, in terms of dumping all kinds of money at education and also expecting that there be efforts done at pre-K and K. or, you know, the early childhood whole.
So you're saying why not let individual preschools compete for grants, perhaps, to institute a 4K program in the preschools for four-year-old kids?
Well, they're already doing it.
Some of them are, certainly.
For about two-thirds of the four-year-olds in our district are already being served by preschools.
And the other one-third?
The other one-third aren't in preschools. They are largely in child care centers where preschool efforts are not going on. But
And that is a choice made by parents, presumably?
Well, it's a choice made by parents, and a large demographic of that third that's not being served are low income and don't ostensibly have the money to pay for
preschool. Why not look for Head Start funding then? Why not look for a Head Start program then?
Well, Head Start money's been cut back.
Okay, why not look for ways to just simply target that one-third of the population that are going to be more at risk for reading problems and math problems and learning problems?
Because there are those in the political leadership who want it under school control. So that's where they can control funding. That's where they can control curriculum. That's where they can control teachers.
So basically what you're telling me is that we're going to overserve the population that are already being served by the individual private child care centers. We are going to then presumably shortchange the one-third, if in fact that's the way you want to look at it, who actually need special attention and perhaps do need some targeted efforts to help them catch up.
Well, they'd be shortchanged if they aren't included and they don't have access, but that's what they're goal.
We're going to shortchange it because the monies that are going to be available are going to be distributed to children who already are receiving the services, whose parents can choose those services, who do not have any kind of income claim that they can't afford those services. And we're going to do this stuff. Then let's not waste money doing it. We're going to spend my tax money. Can we spend as little of it as possible? That's just my question. If you've already got parents who can afford early childhood education for their children, then why do they need me to help them? They can afford it better than I can. I certainly couldn't afford to pay a monthly bill to an early childhood center so their child could receive. That's a lot of money. I can't afford that.
Very
you know,
true.
Why not take, I guess I'm trying to figure out, if Head Start money's been cut back, why not use 4K to target where Head Start left off? And Head Start's got its own problems, by the way. It's not even going to say it's going to solve the achievement problem if we do this. But at the very least, why not target low-income kids?
Good question.
I know. It's a great question. It's an awesome question. Again, these are presumably not things that should concern us, even though we're the ones footing the bill here. Now, I know 70% of the Madison School District population doesn't have kids in the school, and we don't matter, but we're the ones footing the bill. And this is going to be a widely popular, universally used program. Because it always is. Because you've now given parents an opportunity to access, they're going to call it school, but what it really is a way for us to take care of kids during the daytime, half a day, so that a parent can access work opportunity. And I'm fine with that, but let's call it what it is, subsidized daycare.
It gives the parents an opportunity to have somebody else do what they either can't do or don't want to do.
Brian wants to get on that. I see him sighing heavily.
Yeah, I mean, a part of this, Don, is that didn't we just have a $15 million budget problem?
Yes.
Here in the Madison Metropolitan School District, which caused all sorts of gnashing of teeth and rubbing of palm and all sorts of, you know, it was just, how are we possibly going to get through this without
lowering school aids? We're seeing a lowering of school aids now. And
now, if I understand, so that's number one. We apparently just a couple of months ago had a problem apparently practically shutting the lights off down at the school administration building. Well, now all of a sudden they're talking about funding it with a potential of another $4.5 million borrowed under the revenue limits. The district could also levy another $3.5 million in local property taxes. They talk as though the $4.5 million borrowed is like coming off the tree and back. I mean, as if $4.5 million in borrowing isn't coming out of the taxpayers' pockets.
Right.
Well, of course it
is.
It's
a credit card mentality.
Yeah, it's a credit card mentality. And frankly, for the school district, it's an expensive credit card mentality, as you have pointed out on this show several times. So between the borrowing and between what they would levy, just put on the $3.5 million additional on the levy, where was the problem we had a couple of months ago? I mean, when I listened to school board members going, oh, this is just the toughest decision I've made since I've been on the school board, from Marge Passman, I feel like calling her and say, Marge, you don't know what a tough decision is.
Yeah, why create a new problem, financial problem, that is only going to get worse? Because we already know, A, budgets don't go down and they don't stay the same. They go up, and they'll call it cost to continue. B, this will be a program that will be hugely popular. And they're underestimating the popularity of the program.
Well,
they think they're popular to the people who use it.
Yeah, the very, very not just 70% of the people who don't have kids in the Madison school district.
Yeah, we're not going to like it. No,
but a much larger percentage who don't have kindergarten age kids or any kids anywhere close to that.
Sure.
So we're talking about whacking again. I mean, people just got their property tax bills here in the last month. We're talking about whacking them again for a program, A, that we don't know that it works, and B, we just seem to be doing it because, well, and the other
because
thing
we
is
can.
School,
because and we do can. Know it doesn't work. It almost never works. You can look at the Head Start programs. You can look at most of the pre-K programs. Mm-hmm. And what you will find that unless, in fact, I just read a study about this today. There's a marvelous piece up on City Journal, and I will post that up on my Facebook page. Everybody can read it. Unless they commit to a very structured direct instruction environment in 4K, what you do not see are academic mm-hmm. advancements. For a population that is already being largely served, two-thirds of the population of the kids are already experiencing an early...
They're in those programs.
They're in those programs. So we're not even talking about taking the kids who are probably almost guaranteed to be in the at-risk groups and targeting the resources to those kids. And this is a necessity. Brian Schimming made it through life without 4K. Don Severson did. I did. Did not have intervening, you know, young education, early education, a necessity. That's a stretch. It really, even by Madison liberal standards, that's a stretch. You can say we want it,
mm-hmm.
and that's different, mm-hmm. but it's not a necessity.
Let's
get Dave on the program. Hi, Dave.
Hey, maybe it's just me, but it sounds like it's another step towards the old Soviet system where the state wants to get their hands on your kid as soon as possible and start indoctrination.
That's a common concern.
And it's another thing. It's not 4K. I don't know if you've seen some of the conversations in Wisconsin about 3. That's T-H-R-E-E. 3K. So it doesn't end with 4K. And Barack Obama, go to his campaign website, and you can read about his it's basically childhood to graduation from high school. So birth to graduation is where he believes the government has a place to intervene in education.
Well, and this is a school district, A, that is struggling to provide K through 12. Or
they say they are.
High school.
They always tell us they've got to raise our taxes and have to go to the referendum pile.
And the achievement gap is a huge problem.
The achievement gap is a huge problem. So they are beginning to fail at the job that they were constitutionally set up to do, and now they want to divert another $15 million of taxpayers' money to a program they can't prove they need. I mean, we can all be like, oh, this is Barney and hug the kids and all this kind of stuff, but the bottom line is, when the school district is slipping already, for them to divert another $15 million in taxpayers' money is profoundly irresponsible.
I think that's a very good way of putting it. If they can't get the basic job done and they're having trouble, particularly with, well, and it's particularly with children that our county is inviting in to take advantage of the services of the Madison School District, and the school board doesn't want to ever say boo about it. Part of the problem is we're importing kids who have troubles. We're importing the troubles into our school system. We're costing ourselves additional sums of money because we keep expanding the at-risk and the income, right, the income-troubled population, the free lunch population in Madison schools, and we're doing this on top of all that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Ed, welcome to the program. Don Severson is in the studio, as is Brian Schimming.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's another part about I don't think, or at least I just came on his program late that I haven't heard being mentioned is where are you going to put the kid?
Well, you know, there's another building referendum, isn't there, coming down the pike, Don?
No,
there isn't. We've built out.
Only in a figment of their imagination. Okay,
but there is the idea of a building referendum.
Yeah.
I thought, my goodness, that was breaking news.
But what's the answer to that?
Well, the answer to that question is twofold. One, as far as the school district facilities are concerned, they haven't identified those yet, but they say there's some available space in certain building, elementary school buildings in the district to house a few of these. The second part, second answer to that is that there are half of the 92 preschools now functioning in the district who have facilities ongoing and have some capacity for expansion.
There's your answer, Ed.
But they're serving right now about two-thirds of the kids.
The private facilities.
The private facilities of the 1,200.
Did that answer your question? 14.
Well, yeah, it does. But what happened in Cottage Grove is we had a referendum, built this new school, had all this room, so then we had a 4K, and now we got to have another place for more kids again.
Oh, yeah, well, expect that. Expect to be hearing us talk about that in the future. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the call. We'll take a quick break. This is News Talk 1310. All right. You know, the problem is, fellas. Well, let's listen to Marge Passman tell us what the problem is. This was from about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. This really is the problem on education and achievement in Madison Metropolitan School
District. Since the 1970s, our government has paid no attention to education. While there are countries all over the world that are making incredible investments because their countries are taxed. And they are pouring this into education, pouring it in, and they're getting incredible results.
Whoa.
So every time you see our country compared to another country, you have to say to yourself, why is that the case? And the case is that money is going into education. Whoa. But since Sputnik era, we have put no money in this country into our children's education. None.
All right. Now that is
probably what, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that was on Mitch Hanks' show, and that probably explains why Marge Passman could, with a straight face, say that 4K is a necessity when it's not shown to be a necessity anywhere, and it hasn't even shown to be successful in terms of academic achievement. If that's the whole point of this, that's what we're up against, Don Severson.
Yeah,
we're up against somebody who's deluding herself into thinking we haven't spent money on education since Sputnik.
Well, and that truly shows you the mindset. Some, you know, Marge more obvious, but with other members of the board less obvious. But it does show the board's mindset when they approach making policy on issues like this. And so that's why you end up with and we dealt with this, what was this, 5 years ago? We had the three school board referenda. In fact, it would be 5 years ago this
2005,
actually,
2005.
Where the voters stood up and said, no, we want to change. We want you folks to stop piling, you know, taxpayer dollar upon dollar upon dollar on some of these programs. And here we sit 5 years later, same problem.
Don, didn't they actually promise that we wouldn't have new programs, we wouldn't create new programs until we, you know, got through the last 3 year cycle of referendum spending?
Well, the statements were made by the board, different members of the board, and Dr. Nirad, that there would be no new programs planned or initiated during the initial 3 years of the referendum. Well, we passed that referendum in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The first money is in this year's budget, $5 million worth. So they've got $5 million more money this year, and I'll have another $4 million on top of that five for 2011. And we have budget problems. So what they've done
is that our rich uncle, known as Uncle School Aids, he's getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yeah, he's dead, and he took it with him.
Well,
that's what I always say.
Yeah, well, with the referendum passed, they've abrogated the trust, the public trust.
Absolutely.
Because they have not gone on with their promise. And
it was a pretty simple promise. Just wait 3 years.
And as we sit here, they have been planning pre-K, 4K, for over a year and a half. And that was not supposed to happen either. according to their statements, for the referendum. And as soon as that referendum was passed, I asked that we have accountability on how that $5 million was going to be spent, and then an accountability of how it was actually spent. I can't get anything.
Because there's no, well, you know what? It's because there's no, they don't feel any need to appease you. They don't. They really don't. Because we haven't had too many cases where the voters have held these guys accountable. Right. We don't have too many people interested in even running for a school board. So they tend to get away with this kind of stuff, guys.
But part of the reason was for that is that 5 years ago when voters rejected two of the three referenda at that time, we believed them. We said, the school board said, we learned our lesson, we heard you, we're not going to do all these different things.
Well, then we got the school building referendum right after that.
Well, then we have the school building referenda, and then you've got this, when they guaranteed us that they were not going to come back. I might add that since that time when they said, oh, don't worry, we won't come back, the economy is dramatically worse, home foreclosures, I mean, all the other warning
signs
that we have.
Dane County home foreclosures are up 29% year to year, and since 2004, up 309%. In Madison, those numbers are approximately 18% year to year. Yeah! We're having some troubles with our economy, even in Madison, even in insulated, always protected government stronghold Madison. We've got folks who've lost their jobs, people who are going into foreclosure, the same stresses of the economy that other folks are facing. And our school board thought it was the right time to create a brand new program. And we really don't have an idea of how much it's going to cost. We are dramatically underestimating it because it is. Yeah. I mean, it will be used by everyone who's almost everybody who's qualified to take advantage of the program.
Sure. And
it happens
can't blame
in
them
every
for doing
single
it.
School district that does
I don't
this.
Blame them for doing it. Of course they're going to take advantage of it.
Right.
And that's the point here is that number one, they deceived us when they said they wouldn't come back with this program. But to go to the taxpayers right now and go for yet another school board tax, school administration tax increase. I mean, we're like, it's
take
like
the $3.5 million and create some new gym classes for the kids. And yeah, I think people would be more, I think the kids would actually get more out of it. Let's go back to the numbers, Brian, that you read. $4.5 million of borrowing, $3.5 million of tax increases, and there's $4 million pot of money, Don, that is set aside that has been culled from other sources. So we've basically funded, without tax increases, of a $12 million predicted cost of a $12 million program, a third of it. That's what we've got covered, about a third.
Yes.
About $4 million.
Right. That's right. Now, if
where are you going to get the rest of the money?
Well, it's going to...
Borrowing and tax increases.
Borrowing and taxing.
Right.
Which, in effect, are the same thing.
Which absolutely are the same thing.
In fact, it's worse.
You have to pay in the future.
When you hear borrowing for operations, it's worse.
That's right.
When you hear borrowing not for, I mean, rather than borrowing, traditional borrowing for capital and all this capital improvement, all that, it's worse. I mean, this, it's so bad. People have, don't let this little, you know, fig leaf of, oh, it's pre-K and all that.
It's not. It's 4-year-old daycare. It really is.
It's glorified daycare.
It is subsidized daycare.
And for Marge Passman, who apparently has deceived the voters yet again, I find it interesting, Don Severson, that in the very, there's three school board seats up this year.
Yes.
None of them are contested. In the very first school board meeting after the filing deadline, when no one else filed against them, they suddenly come back and approve a $15 million program.
Yeah, well, if no one's going to run against them, you know, why wouldn't you think you can run roughshod over the taxpayers?
Well, they take it as a referendum of what
exactly.
They're doing.
Didn't even have to bother to ask. Hey, listen, one other thing that's important to consider here. No fewer than, or no greater than 50% of the people who are going to staff this 4K program will be allowed to be non-union certified, non-MTI certified. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's a full employment act for MTI. Who will support it and who financially?
You need to have a certification. Seriously.
See, that was an element that was already agreed to and is in the collective bargaining agreement that was signed off this fall. So, you know,
which again shows their complicity. They knew this was coming.
Well, sure, they expected it to come and pass.
Is there a way we can design some sort of external assessment of the success or failure of this program? Do we even have a mission statement? I mean, that's something we probably should have asked at the very beginning of this hour. What is the mission statement of this program, Don Severson?
Of this specific program?
This specific program. I mean, what's the overarching identified problem we're solving with this necessity of 4K?
I don't think I've read such a statement, but I would.
So it doesn't say we have such a dramatic achievement gap between black students and white students, or Hispanic students and white students, or rich students and poor students. And we aim to close that gap by a number of different tools, one of which is pre-K.
That's been the discussion.
Right.
Yes.
So can we go on that one? That's going to be our operating assumption, that they're going to try to help kids who have fallen behind.
Sure.
Then can we measure the successes by the success rates of those children and their performance on the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concepts Test?
Sure.
Then we will, I will predict for you, in 3 years, we will have no results that will justify the expenditure of $12 million.
And when we have
no
results.
Because nobody else has them either.
And when we have no results, what will the school board's defense be?
Didn't spend enough money. No, for real.
You're absolutely
That's
right.
What it'll be.
We're going to have to cut fourth grade strings again because we had to dump more money into pre-K.
Yep.
We're going to have to cut cheerleading again because we have to dump more money into pre-K. We're going to have to punish the football team again. We're going to have to go after some of the other popular programs.
Raise fees.
Maybe a language program or two.
You can bet that if the pre-K program is successful, they won't cut reading recovery and some of the other
remedial programs. No, if it's not going to be successful. Any more than reading recovery. That was going to be the end-all, be-all. I don't know if you recall that. Reading recovery was the end-all, be-all solution to reading problems and an achievement gap. SAGE was the end-all, be-all solution to the achievement gap and reading problems and math problems. And now it's 4K. Pretty soon it'll be 3K. What's next? I can't imagine 2K. what rabbit they'll pull out of their hat next. We'll be right back. We went a little bit long on that last break, so I'm going to throw it back to commercials, pay some bills here, come back with a poll question of the day. By the way, the poll question is on pre-K. Brian Schimming could probably predict the results of our pre-K survey on WIBA.com.
We'll see, won't we?
Well, I'm going to let you try. Brian Schimming, here is today's poll question. Let's see if you can guess the results. Do you agree with the Madison School Board's decision on 4K, yes or no? What do you think the no response was on that?
At least 75%.
More.
85%.
Higher.
Higher? 90.
88.39% said no.
88.39 said thanks, but yeah.
That's
no
what
thanks.
I think, Brian. Don't you typically term that that kind of poll number, that kind of poll results, an 88%er?
A blank percenter.
Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education, always a pleasure. And Brian Schimming, who is actually going to stick around and do a little Madison tonight when we're done. Are we completely out of time here? So I just say ta-ta.